Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. It is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and great to be here as always. As we approach the holiday season and we approach the end of the year, what are we seeing? We're seeing what almost exactly as we expected. Not a lot going on. Certainly no reason to believe the markets are going to have some sort of big sell-off, because they will not have one unless they have a black swan event. And of course, you know, you can configure that we're going to continue to see some upward momentum. Remember that markets themselves drool higher in the lack of action and the lack of any real reason not to. Now, we had, of course, the House passed the tax bill, and we're now waiting on the Senate. But I say, so what? What is the big deal? It's already been priced into the market. We already understand it. We already know that it's here. And what does it really mean? And I think it really means a whole bunch of nothing. I don't really think it's a big deal one or the other. Yes, it is nice to potentially get some taxes lowered. I can live with that. But I do believe that the bill does favor still big corporate America. I think that's one of the flaws in this plan. I think that's part of Donald Trump had to give up, President Donald Trump, to get this legislation done. I think that the big issue, and of course it's been talked about ad nauseum, but the carried interest part of it, where the big money can take things and pay half the taxes. But that's been going on forever. I mean, you know, Warren Buffett is no different than that with what he does and how he pays himself. But, you know, what does it really mean? Well, you know, in my opinion, nothing means anything until the government quits ridiculously spending money. Okay. I think this is an issue that, you know, I wish we could somehow solve. But I don't think that it will ever be solved, at least not in my lifetime. When you talk about, the spending and the deficit that they're creating, because really what have they done is they're running the biggest Ponzi scheme against everybody. And I think that in a nutshell is the issues that we see on a day-to-day basis. So yes, it's good that they're going to cut some taxes. But, you know, if you believe that we're going to have a big expansion in growth and in jobs and things like that, I think you must still believe in Santa Claus, because this money is going to go directly to the bottom line of these companies. They're going to have to save it. They are going to, again, continue to just put their money into stock buybacks and things like that. And that does not do the general economy any good. Of course, we have said this many, many times, and you know this, that the general economy and the stock market are not at all related when it comes down to it. And, you know, I heard somebody say on Tuesday that, well, they expect unemployment to go under 3%. And I go, what difference does it make? If you're not making any money, it doesn't really matter where the rate is. I mean, do I care? If I'm making my money, do I care what the overall rate of unemployment is? And the answer is probably no. So, you know, we can have all these things and talk about all this crap, but that is exactly what it is. It is crap. It is a phony, ridiculous situation that will never change as long as we continue doing business the same way that we've always done it. And the same way that you've always done it is to continue to, you know, let big government control the world and let them continue to abuse the citizens, especially the middle class, because we as, in our case, Americans, accept that this is the way that things have always been done. Now, again, I think that's, you know, an issue. That's a problem. And that's something that, you know, we should be, you know, well aware of. But again, it comes back down to that we are very accepting of the way we've done things forever, right or wrong. And I think that, again, becomes a much bigger ordeal down the road. And the worse that things get, the more we continue to, you know, create stupid debt, the more we continue to create these situations and allow the crooks in Washington, in the swamp, to, you know, take our money away from us. This is what you're going to get. So the big bottom line is we are getting exactly what we deserve as, you know, people, because we are not smart enough or not willing to fight for what's right. And again, I don't mean to be so crass and so straight up, but that is really what it comes down to. And this is what is really the big issue, is because we are just much too accepting of the garbage that is allowed to happen. And I think that that is in itself is reason to believe that there's a lot of issues and troubles that are brewing even more than we see now. So we can talk about how good the economy is, which I don't believe it is, in my opinion. I think the economy sucks. I think that we let these imaginary things go forward and really forget about what the real truth is. And I think that then brings to light more problems. But at the end, until we do something about it, this is what we're going to have. And that's where the issue of you know, a crooked government. And again, I can't prove it, but I certainly would think that there's a lot of things going on that are certainly, if not against the laws, then certainly right up against the laws of the land. But of course, when the lawmakers are the ones doing it, they can change or adjust the laws. But that's just a thought. And more important, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, highschoolinvesting.com is my site for kids, and I'm trying to educate them all. And I need help. And if you would go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you can help us out, as we've been sponsoring this program for 6 years myself and would like to continue. Excuse me, but if I can't raise some capital, I'm going to have to give it up. And don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. That's The Bubba Show every single day, libertytalk.fm. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back, my friends. It's the show that never ends. It's The Bubba Show, and it's me, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, we've been watching now the Bitcoin trade. And, you know, of course, now on two exchanges, and it seems to be picking up some volume every day and seems to be picking up a little bit of steam. Interesting enough, I had a conversation with my mother, who is 90, and we talked about the Bitcoin, and she said, well, what is it? And I said, well, you know, it's a currency that's in midair. But I said that, in my opinion, what it really is a revolution against the Federal Reserve and against central banks and against governments. Because this is a way that people can try to put money aside away from the mitts of the people that want to steal it from you. All right. And but I do think that, of course, I have said this repeatedly, that I do believe that it's real. I do believe that it's going to be around, whether it'll be in Bitcoin or something else like it. I think that, you know, the cryptocurrency world is here to stay. I think that the crypto space is, you know, going to be a part of our everyday life now. And I don't care what the government tries to do. I do not think that they will be able to change or get rid of it. I think that it will be, you know, in the dark. And it will be continued to be real, and I think it will continue to grow. Now, as far as the value of it, at where its current value, probably a little bit of a bubble. But, you know, again, bubbles can pop, and the underlying of that bubble can still be good, as long as everything is clean and legal and not, you know, being scammed out. Now, again, I think you'll see, you know, some of these cryptocurrencies that will eventually show up, or some that may even be there now, could be legitimate schemes. All right. They could be Ponzi schemes. They could be a lot of things. But I do believe that the overall Bitcoin is not, although the Bitcoin is in what we would say bubble territory, but it is certainly becoming a revolution and a direct shot at the government and at the banks, because those are the ones that are most affected by this type of currency, because they lose control. They lose the ability to devalue. They lose the ability to stick it up your potatoes. Right? And that is something that, you know, again, is fueling the flames and the fire. And then you take into the effect that, if you have, you know, a situation in which you're using Bitcoin or the likes of it, you are now, you know, entering a world of non-government intervention into your capital. And so it does have all the reasons to believe that it's real and it will continue. And you know, it is now more recognized. And, you know, as I tried to explain to my mom how it works, and I said, you know, we'll probably buy some for you. You know, not necessarily the Bitcoin, but something that we believe is real. But I think it comes back down to a simple fact that as long as you can exchange it for something else of wealth, it does become a real currency. And that, I think, is something that, you know, we're not necessarily looking at because everybody is so mesmerized by the price that it's trading at. But is it any more mesmerizing than when, you know, the dollar is going crazy higher or lower? You know, one of the issues and the problems with us, and that includes me, everybody, is that we're very accepting and very, very hard for us to make change. And when you don't make change and you accept the status quo, typically that creates a lot more issues because of the status quo. You know, we should not be accepting. We should be always questioning. And many are afraid to question the government. And I think that's one of the mistakes that we make is citizens, as people, as voters, is it is our right to question. it is our right to make sure that we're not getting screwed. I mean, that's the simple bottom line is, as an American, you have a right to know what's going on. And what I'd really like to know is why we don't know what's going on. It's like this, you know, stupid debt ceiling that's coming up on Friday. Are we going to know what garbage is going to be snuck in there in which we're going to pay for? And I think this is the thing that most don't understand is all of these programs, all of this stuff that goes on is always financed by the middle class. And you can listen to all the people bragging and drooling about how good the market is right now and where we're going. And, you know, and again, if you're in, I'm happy for you. I'm in, you know, but I don't like it. You know, just because I'm in doesn't mean that I have to like what's going on. And I certainly do not like what's going on. I certainly would love to have an independent audit of the government. You know, again, you know, Ron Paul wants to audit the Fed. I'd like to do that too, but I would like to see a basic breakdown of how the government is spending my money, your money, okay? And, well, of course, we're never going to get there, at least I don't think in my lifetime, but it certainly would. It's certainly hard to fathom that we could build $25 trillion in debt and nobody knows where it went, how it got there, where we went to. Now, certainly, I believe that if we could get a good look at the books, so to speak, we would find that that deficit could be a hell of a lot less. And what would that really mean? That would really mean that your dollars would be worth a lot more. That would really mean that you could actually have more spending or more buying power if we had the setup where the government was more accountable for the money that they're spending. And I think that is an issue as well when we as Americans, as the financiers of the government, don't know where our money is being spent. Now, you know, I think that that is a flaw. I think that is a way that they can steal. And don't be mistaken that they're not stealing money, okay? Even as far as, and again, I don't know the exact rules, so I'm not going to get, you know, direct into it, but I do know that there's a way that they, even the money they raise, is they can spend it kind of on themselves under certain way, in certain ways. And, you know, so, you know, if I want to, you know, even if I want to pretend that I want to run for office and I can raise money, I can then kind of glom on to that cash. And I think that is something that is again, more of an issue at the end of the day. And I think the whole system needs to be revamped because if I have said at least 1,000 times in the 7 years we've been doing the show is that, you know, we get the short end of the stick all the time. And I'm really quite sick of it, to be quite honest with you. I'm tired of watching my working hard for my dollars from the welfare to everything else. And certainly I'm not against helping those who cannot help themselves. But I am against feeding somebody's crack habit with my dollars. That just is my views. And, you know, like them or not, doesn't matter. That's what I think. But I also know that this is the Bubba Show. And I know that I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you know, I do a daily update every day and email it out right after the markets close. Certainly, if you'd like to join in that, it's free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and fill out the box when it pops up. Every day, you'll get a quick video of what's going on, what I see, what I expect. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with John Jenkinson from Rural Rally Radio and talk a little bit about farming goods. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and let's go visit with John Jenkinson of Rural Rally Radio right now.
Home this morning and say good morning to this gentleman, Todd Horowitz of Bubba Trading is here with us. Good morning, Todd. How are you this morning?
And you use that term loosely. Good morning, John.
No. Hey, by the way, how did Las Vegas go?
Las Vegas was great. We did a lot of good stuff and taught a lot and had a lot of spinning heads when we were done, but I think everybody got it, and everybody's in pretty good shape. So it was great. It was a great trip and great to be there.
And one of the neat things that you did was you actually did trading, and that's called on-hand training when you trade right there in front of everybody.
That's right. I like to do that. That's always fun. It helps me stay more disciplined because I have to show everybody what I'm teaching them.
You're disciplined. Hey, all right, the grain market here this morning, pretty quiet, pretty sideways, choppy trade, not a real surprise, and smaller and smaller volume between here and this weekend, isn't it?
Well, it's probably only going to get smaller. You know, I think that by Friday, not even Santa Claus will be on the floor anymore. Everybody will be gone, and it'll be quiet, and I think you can expect this action for the rest of the year. I don't see, unless there's an event that would be more likely a black swan event, there will be no action whatsoever. And whatever happens now really is meaningless, except if it goes against you, it'll hurt your equity in your account. But other than that, there'll be no action.
So what kind of advice do you give grain producers right now at this time of year? Because, you know, some are faced with balancing the books. Some are faced with, I got to make a payment, but then I want to sit on the rest. What have producers been asking you?
Well, but I think that the best thing to do here, John, is if you have the capital and you don't need the money right now, then you put it away. You deposit it in your bins like you're putting it into a bank, and you look for it to gain some interest as it's sitting there. If you need to make payments, but you're afraid to miss the rally that I think is coming, then you go out into the future and you sell because you have to settle the debt that you have. But then you can actually also buy some inexpensive options out in the future and allow yourself to play in. And basically the way it compares out is you could actually, you know, the money that it would cost you to store, you could simply put into the option market and put the money to work for you there while retaining and gaining the cash that you need to settle your bills. So there's a lot of ways to do this. It just depends on the individuals and where they stand with their own personal capital.
You know, right now everybody's kind of looking at next year, Todd, and their break-even costs and where we stand right now with the futures. From the producers I talk to, unless you have got a lot of acres that you're able to spread out your fixed costs over, break even on corn is still north of $4, and you know we're well sub that, we're south of that even right now. But some say that with careful planning and really watching their inputs, they can keep their break evens in that high threes. But man, how far out do you look, and what can you do to kind of protect yourself? And I don't think I'd get locked in too closely here because, as you mentioned, all it would take is one event, one hiccup somewhere, and all of a sudden, this market could take off to the higher side. And if it would, then you sure don't want to be caught down here in the threes.
Well, I think that, you know, again, I wouldn't be doing a lot of protecting of new stuff because, again, it's your cost is going to be higher. You're going to be a loser the minute you put it in the ground, which is a sad state. But, of course, that's where we are right now with the overall economy and with everything else that's going on. I think you'll probably see less corn planted next year right now the way it looks. I mean, you know, we have to look at all of the different things we can put there. But, you know, the fortunate thing we have today, John, is that, you know, at least – if you've got the right equipment, you can actually make sure that you get most of it out. You know, back, you know, 20 years ago, you know, there was a lot more problems, right? I mean, now guys can work, you know, theoretically, if you wanted, you could work 24 hours a day. You've got the equipment that allows you to work at night if you want. So I think there's a lot of issues out here right now, and I think that you will see probably a lot less corn planted, depending on, you know, where we are and the cost. But it's going to be a rough year as it stands now. And I think those who can get in and do it will be rewarded, because I do see higher prices. Again, I know it's kind of redundant to keep hearing the same things over and over again, but the equity markets will sell off at some point. That alternative money will come into most likely the grain space. I mean, I'm having my equity clients also buy grains now as like they're buying a stock. So, again, I'm a big believer. I own it myself, and I'm looking for higher prices. You know, when they're going to come, I don't know, but I'm not at these low levels. I don't believe there's much more to go on the downside. Certainly, like, they can go lower, but I'm not concerned about, you know, them going down to zero unless we're going to quit eating and maybe we'll have a magic pill. We don't have to eat food anymore.
That's a good point. You also bring up another good point. A lot of these corn acres are going to be switched over to soybean acres, and that's just the reason of return on investment, and soybeans seem to have the stronger demand right now.
Yeah, and of course, soybeans have weakened closely, and I haven't seen the actual input costs for beans for next year, but typically, you know, they're a little bit less, so they could be, you know, still being able to make a profit. I mean, one thing about farmers and producers, they've got to understand, you know, their business model, which they do, and you're going to try not to plant something that, you know, the minute you put in the ground, you've lost money. And I think that's the big thing when you're putting together your plan for next year, and this is the time that everybody's doing it. You've got to make this some hard decisions and put yourself in the best position to be profitable, because, again, you know, we're not out there to just provide. We need to also run a business, which is what we're running. And of course, the competition is much more fierce now because of, you know, a lot of the corporate farming that's going on, which, of course, they work much cheaper and they can do a lot of things, whereas, you know, the individual cannot. So there's a lot of issues out there, and unfortunately, all of their money, our guys' money, is tied up in their land. If they own their land, it's tied up there, and you just can't take that out. It's not like it's an ATM where you can go say, well, give me the money. I need the money out of the land right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Todd Horowitz here with us, Bubba Trading, and when we come back, Todd, I want to talk about the VIX index and some of the outside markets. We'll touch on the livestock market as well. That's straight ahead. Take off here. I do have to be selfish here for just a moment and wish a happy birthday to my dad, who is 81 today, and my daughter, who is 21 today. Both of them have a birthday, so I have to get that taken care of first thing here. And you can do the math in between. All right, Todd, where's the VIX index here this morning?
Well, you know, the VIX is a little bit lower, and of course, it's down at near all-time lows. And of course, a lot of that has to do with is the ever-changing world that we live in. You know, with the flow of information, there's not as much uncertainty, so the VIX is naturally lower, and you tie that in with a market that only goes up, and of course, the volatility is going to be a lot less, and I think that will continue. You know, I think the old days of a VIX that's in the 20s is over. I would expect the new VIX, you know, the new levels when we get there to be around probably 15. And that's something that we see as markets change and as the dynamics change, you're going to see lower volatility. And, you know, for the general public, that's fine. But for people that like to trade or speculate, the lower the volatility, the harder it is to trade.
You mentioned that VIX index just kind of changing here a little bit. It used to be that the higher the VIX, that kind of you could kind of gauge which direction the money was going to go, whether it was going to flow back into the commodities or if it was going to flow back into the financials. Does that Is that paradigm still in place, though? I mean, is it still a gauge as to where traders want to put their money?
Well, it's really a fear index is what they like to call it. And the more volatility, the more uncertainty, the more people would be likely to come out of the stock market and move into the grain market. So if we got to see a higher VIX, you would expect money to flow out of the market, which is typically what happens. And I think that's something that we always have to keep our mind to watch. But, you know, right now, again, with equities just kind of drifting higher and at the end of the year here, I wouldn't expect much of anything. But I do believe that we'll see more volatility, which would then create a higher VIX index. And I think that money will then flow into the alternatives, which would be the grains, which would be the number one spot.
Also flow maybe into crude oil as well, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think crude oil is done. I mean, you know, again, I've been against crude oil. And, of course, I thought that we're going down to 40 and, you know, 42 was the lowest. I've made that call. I think we're going back down there again. I don't see any reason that we need to believe that crude's going to go higher. We don't have the growth. We don't have anything going on that would be positive towards crude other than the OPEC manipulation. And that's been going on for 14 months, and they've managed to push it up about 8 to 10%. We've got a 200-year supply in the United States without infecting the environment. And if we're going to continue with good fuel efficiency and we're not going to get the growth, where's the demand for crude oil going to come from? And that's what I don't see. So I think that crude's going much lower.
That's very well stated. All right, this cattle market here, futures were a little bit weaker yesterday, and now we're talking about maybe some steady to $2 higher cash. But man, we've got just a flood of reports out on Friday, and I know where you stand on these reports and things, but it's all money flow again here in the livestock.
No, it's always money flow. And again, look, we talked about getting down to 148 in feeders. We got the blow that we're now lower. I'm looking for a spot to think they're going to go higher. I think the 118 in the fats was exactly where we got to, and we're moving higher. I'm looking to find spots to buy. I'm much more comfortable right now in the fats because at the end of the day, they showed a great level. Now, as soon as the feeders can find and locate what I would consider to be a bottom, then I would be more than happy to jump in there as well. I certainly would not be a seller anymore. I'm looking to be a buyer. I think the entire agricultural space to me is a buy, with the exception of soybeans, which they had a little trouble at 985. I'd like to see what they're, and even hogs now. You know, we called on this airwaves, 66 is our level. Well, we came all the way down, and we've been below 66. Now we're kind of hovering around it. So if we can get a hold and we can see some positive action around 66, we're going to jump in and be a buyer. And that will do it for this part of our interview with John. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back, my friends. What's up, everybody? It is the Christmas season, my favorite time of year. Love Christmas. Love to celebrate it. Love to watch it. Love the attitude. Hate the markets when it's Christmas time because there's nothing going on. And, of course, this year is no different. Typically a bullish time of year. Typically volume continues to fall off. And, of course, you know, starting even today, tomorrow, the volume continues to drift away. And, of course, by Friday, as I said on the TD Ameritrade show yesterday, not even Santa Claus will be around on Friday. And that's what you can pretty much expect from the markets, is to have nobody around because there's no point to be around. And the only thing that will change the market dynamics in the next week will be something of a black swan event. And I think this is a time that those of you who like to trade, now there's a difference between trading and investing, but those of you who like to trade, this is a time to understand that trading, excuse me, is not plentiful at this point in time because there is not enough action going on. There is not enough reason to be overly involved because the volume continues to fall and dissipate. As we, you know, head towards nobody going to be here, the holidays. And again, it's always like this around a lot of holidays. This holiday is just a little bit more extended because it does tie into, you know, many school vacations. And many people choose this time of year to go on their family vacation. because everybody's off. And, you know, as you know, there is not a lot of people working, you know, very skeleton crews, many places even shut down between the Christmas and New Year holiday. So that only makes sense that volumes and everything else would be much lighter because there is not people working. And you know, and again, that's just, you know, it's great, you know. But I think that we tend to fall into the trap, and people that trade tend to think that they have to trade all the time, and not realizing that most of the time you're just kind of throwing your dough in the toilet. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's a much better situation if you understand that sometimes it's just better to turn that damn machine off and get out of there. Now, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think that is important for everybody to understand is, you know, as volume dries up, it makes it easier to push the markets in one direction or the other. And as we have said many, many times, typically if the market is going to drift, it will most likely drift higher because of, well, very simple. You know, markets are meant to go higher because there's always flow of money coming into the market from all the funds and everything else. And so there's no reason to believe that it will not go higher, you know, when there's nothing going on. And I think this is where, you know, you and me have to understand that sometimes if I want to be active, you know, it has to be where I have the ability to be active, not just because I want to be active. You know, market conditions should more dictate what you want to do and what you think you can do versus anything else. And when the conditions are not suited for actual real movement, then you're better off not being involved. And I think this is where many, many people trap themselves by thinking that they can force or bully the market around when, of course, we know that that's not a possibility. And I think that that's something that we have to think about on a regular basis. Is how do we make it the give ourselves the best? How do we take advantage of market probability? Because, you know, as information flows through markets, as, you know, timing goes on, you know, if you go back and let's say we turn the clock back 40 years at the beginning of the options market, you know, let's say the implied volatility back then was, let's say, 35%, right? Because why? Because people didn't understand the market. And, you know, they didn't even have put options when the markets first started. So volatility was higher because people didn't understand, so they were willing to pay more. Well, you know, you push the clock ahead, and if you go back in history, volatility has been a declining animal every year. Now, there's times it pops, but basically the long-term trend, if you look at it, has fallen. Why? Because as more technology comes out, as more things come out to show you what the market is doing, we have less uncertainty. Remember, the volatility model comes from, you know, the possibility of something happening. And, of course, when you can define to a much closer extent, then, of course, volatility falls. So when we look at the VIX and we say, well, it's at 9, it's ugly, blah, 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 which it is, eventually, I don't know that you will see a VIX that will ever average over 20 for an extended period of time again. I think that you're going to continue to see volatility fall as markets continue to, you know, be able to generate and create information faster, more efficiently, and giving you less uncertainty. Certainly, we all know that we didn't know as much, you know, even if you go back to the Kennedy administration. Now, again, I don't know this is 100% right, but from my understanding of what I've read is that the Cuban Missile Crisis, nobody even knew about it. I mean, the government knew about it, but the people didn't know about it for like a week or 2 weeks until after it was already in play. Whereas today, we know about it in 5 minutes. So, again, the fear or the scarcity of issues has changed, which then changes the dynamics of how people are going to react to the overall market. So when we learn to understand that, all that means is that the variances are going to be different, and the reason to get either very concerned or very happy change because it happens so much faster. Did you notice how much faster the markets either correct or move up now than they did in the past? Because we are an immediate gratification society, we want to make sure that we that we get it done right away. Well, again, when you get the information right away, everything else happens all that much faster. So that does change, again, the fear and the uncertainty, which goes back to what we started with, which is changes the overall volatility of the market, because we don't have to be as worried about what's going on. And so that is something that, you know, again, certainly the, as we've said many times, the black swan events are something we can never know. So we will always react to those. But even the reaction to those is lesser because we're so much more prepared for it. And now with what the exchanges are doing, again, it continues to cut down the volatility model. And I think that's something that, you know, we just have to understand and deal with, because really, as a trader, part of us, we have to learn to adjust to what we had to trade. That's one of the things people have trouble with. They remember the old days, but it's not the old days that we're trading. We're trading for now. So the ability to learn and react to the market now is the most important thing that we can ever do, and not try to figure out anything else. And I think that, my friends, is something that, you know, is just another little tip for you, my faithful listeners, right here on the Bubba Show. And of course, I'll make another plea out to everybody to help with my highschoolinvesting.com program, which is through Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, where we try to educate high school kids, and we give the program away free to the school. And of course, one of the things we're going to do is those who meet certain requirements from the donation will get free access to learning about the markets, what the kids are learning, and you can learn it yourself if you need some help. And you'll get a password to the highschoolinvesting.com. In the meantime, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm, and have a great day. Enjoy yourself on this Wednesday. And of course, we're going to take SMU against Louisiana Tech tonight in the bowl game, the Frisco Bowl. This is the Bubba Show, Top of Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Bubba Show, Top of Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.